friends. Welcome to episode 67 of C3, Crystals, Cauldrons, and Cocktails. I'm River Kane.
And I'm Rin Graves.
And this week we are going to be doing an episode on crystal divination. This was actually a request from Greg. He is one of our new patrons. Thank you, Greg. Woo!
Yes, thank you. I have a joke. So I was at work when we got the email, right? And I didn't have time to reply to it. So it was funny because I text River and I'm like, reply to Greg. And I was like, I know she's probably like, who? Huh? What? Because I gave no context. I was like, I wasn't like, oh, yay, we got an email. Like somebody requested a topic or anything. No, I just said reply to Greg. That was it.
And I actually knew what she was talking about because I had just been looking at our emails because I checked them periodically. And I'm like, oh, yay. So that was very funny.
It was funny because it was just like, maybe I should have thought about that better, but it was a busy day. And I was like, hey, it's fine.
We're like on the same wavelength usually. Yeah. So thank you, Greg, for your suggestion.
Yes, thank you.
How was your Yule season?
Okay.
It's been, okay. What? That was very.
No, it was like a, okay, let me get started.
Oh, I see.
It was very eventful. I got to spend a lot of time with family, which was very nice. And, sorry, River just threw me off. You put your hand in front of the screen to focus. So
we do this via Zoom, and for some reason, my face I don't know.
It got fuzzy.
It got fuzzy. So I put my hand up to try to refocus. And then you were like, what the hell?
Yeah, you made me lose my train of thought. But no, my Yule season was fine and great. I'm trying to think. Like,
you came over to our house for a little bit. That was fun.
Like, it's kind of all muddled. Like, I've already had a week. So I'm trying to think back.
Yeah.
I think it was pretty nice. Like, I haven't been able to spend time with my family, like, all together in a while. Cause like ever since growing up, we're all kind of all over the place. Everybody has different jobs. Everybody has different schedules. So I don't really get to hang out as much. And so it was really nice to see everybody in one place together. I feel like that hasn't happened since, I guess, last year, you know, like the previous Yule time.
Yeah.
So it was very nice to do that. And of course, I spend a lot of time at my husband's family as well. And then I got to come and see you guys. Mm-hmm. So it was very nice. And I think it was like relaxing. Like it was indirectly relaxing. You know, I had like the chaos of my family and my husband's family and you.
Yeah. You can't come in and visit your folks without coming to our house. We live fairly close to her parents.
Yeah. And so, It was nice because I as soon as we got into the new year and started getting settled back in, I was like, you know, I hadn't thought about work or anything that I need to do for classes until I had gotten back into my home, like not my hometown, my indirect hometown. It's my home now, but so it was nice because I was like, wow, like I haven't looked at this in over a couple of weeks. And it was nice to say that because I always stress myself out about schoolwork and work and all of that. So,
yeah, I had a big project that started on the 4th. So even over the holiday, I was working on that. But it was nice to have family and have you guys come visit. That's always fun. So, yeah, it was fun. Although one of my friends has COVID, so I don't know if that's right around the corner or not for the rest of us, because we visited them too. COVID's still a thing.
Yeah, I hear it's gotten really bad over in China. And one of my friends, she is Chinese. And so she talks a lot.
Does she have family there still?
Yeah, she does. But it's like, it's a lot of the media following. So her mom follows a lot of the Chinese media.
Is her mom here or in China?
Here. Like her immediate family is here.
Okay.
And so like they follow Chinese media and all of that. And she was like, it's crazy what they show from over there and what we don't see.
Yeah.
She says it's crazy bad right now. She said to be wary because they are opening up their travel borders on the 8th, where they're still having the massive outbreak of COVID.
I think the U.S. is requiring testing for anybody coming from China. But, you know, that doesn't stop someone that might have gone to a different country before they come in. I mean, it's just, it's still out there, guys.
Yeah. Wear your mask. It's just, yeah, just be wary. Although, wash your hands.
My friend, she wore her mask at the airport. She wore her mask on the plane because she's like, I know it's out there, and she still got it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd never know where it is. I mean, it could be anywhere. Like the friend I was just talking about, she, in our workplace, it was when I was over in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
She had got COVID, but she is the most diligent person. Like, she has hand sanitizer on her. She washes her hands. She tries not to touch her face. She wears a mask, and she got it, and nobody else in the office did, even though she was in close contact.
That's very strange.
It was odd. And she was like, I don't know. Like, it had to have just been like one object that she touched. And then she touched her eye because she itches her eyes a lot. And she was the only one that got it during the summer. And so
I was going to say, you went to Europe this summer. Did you wear masks and all that on the plane? Was it still required back then?
No, it wasn't required.
Wow.
And it wasn't required for me to show proof that I had a vaccine to get back into the US at that time. It's probably different now, especially different protocols with China and everything now.
I mean, my friend, she is totally inoculated, boosted and everything, and she's pretty sick. Her fever was 102 yesterday. Oh, wow. So
I heard there's a new there are new strains all the time, but this one's even worse apparently. Yeah.
Well, the good news is, I mean, the first thing I asked her was like, are you able to breathe? How is your breathing? And she said that part's fine. She just felt like shit.
Yeah.
But she could breathe, because that's the part I think that was killing people was
her
lungs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So at least she's not having that. It's just like a really bad flu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Enough of that.
Just a little bit of our lives. You love it when we talk so much about us and nothing about witchcraft.
Okay. But drinking, what are we drinking? So,
okay.
I got a fun glasses for Christmas. I love them. And I am drinking what I am naming a pink princess. So it's got pink grapefruit juice, which fresh is the best, but I didn't have time to do that because I'm still in the middle of that project that started on the 4th. Vodka, a splash of lemon, and a candied orange rind. It is really good. And I had put sugar on the rim of my glass, my new fun glasses, but my mouth is watering. I think I'm going to put salt on it next time because to me, grapefruit juice and salt just really go together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mouth is watering. This is crazy. I'm sitting here with one right in front of me and it's still watering. Mm-hmm. But what are you drinking?
Well, I am no fun. So kind of with my New Year's resolution, it's, I hate saying that because it's like, oh, bleh, new year, new me. Everybody's same old.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really have a resolution last year because that's the same thing that I thought, ooh, resolution. But I guess in a way I'm trying to better myself. And so I guess part of that for me is less alcohol.
Not and me. Better myself, more alcohol.
Yeah, I know. I just like,
I mean, that's
and no alcohol. I mean, obviously, but just maybe a little less than what I usually frequently do, and maybe more of what I enjoy, and try to harness and hone in on what I like instead of trying to experiment and then not liking it, but still having to drink it and not yet, and you're still getting the intake of alcohol even though you're not enjoying it. You know, so I'm just
I always enjoy it.
No, I know you do.
We should tell our listeners that we did vision boards together.
Yeah, we should
over the holidays.
But I guess today you could say I'm drinking a virgin mimosa.
A virgin mimosa. So orange juice.
Orange juice.
Oh, that's great.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Let's get to the topic at hand. So we've done some episodes on different divination types. And we've done some episodes on crystals. So now we're going to kind of combine the two and talk about crystal divination.
Yes.
Yes. So what is crystal divination? There are several definitions that I came up with. One is So basically, divination is the practice of seeking knowledge or guidance from supernatural forces, or, you know, you can gain understanding. I know you're a proponent of this, where it's really your inner self that you are tapping into to get mm-hmm. the information that's already there. You just don't know it's there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when used in divination, crystals can help you communicate with your higher self and receive messages about yours or your clients, if you have clients, energies by seeing symbols or energy or images in their energy fields. Mm-hmm. Crystal divination is an excellent way to connect with the divine mm-hmm. for purposes of guidance, wisdom, and healing.
Okay.
Crystal divination is using crystals and stones for divining purposes. I like that definition because it's sweet, simple, to the point.
Yeah.
And that website that I was looking at said you can further break this down into smaller categories to talk about crystal scrying, which is actually called crystallomancy.
Okay.
Crystal throwing, which is called lithomancy. Mm-hmm. And you can use pendulum crystals in your pendulum work for divination purposes.
Mm-hmm. I know we talked a little bit about this in our divination episode mm-hmm. itself, but we haven't really, you know, delved into how crystals affect that.
Crystals, yeah. And I never really thought about using crystals as a source of divination on its own. So this was a really interesting episode to research. There was another website I came across that said there are two ways to use crystals in divination. And the first is scrying, mm-hmm. also called crystal gazing.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, where you gaze at a reflective surface of a crystal or into the interior, like a crystal ball is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. the second is lithomancy, which is casting a set of stones and interpreting the patterns that they land in to get the answers to your questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. So my first thought was, okay, so I'm using crystals for divination. How do I pick what crystals to use? Because mm-hmm. I love all the crystals. Amethyst is one of my favorites because it helps with hangovers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how do you, for divination purposes, what do you do? And so the answer, as I found through all these different sites I looked at, was that it depends. It depends on what type of divination you're doing. Basically, the crystals that you choose, they don't have to be large, expensive, or rare to be effective. Some methods, it's the correspondence of the crystal that's important. You know, like I said, amethyst is for, well, a lot of other things, but to me, that
for
hangover
you.
Thing, hangover
for
thing
you.
Is, but, you know, all crystals have their own correspondences. And so depending on what it is that you're trying to do and what you're trying to get the answers to, you might want to do some research on what crystals would be best for that particular question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you know? Crystal is made up of the same things that regular glass is made of. So like silica and soda and lime. But it has lead oxide in it, which is what makes crystals so special, because the light reflects off of these particles, which is what gives crystals that dazzling effect, as opposed to just regular glass that is clear. You can see through it. It's kind of boring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's interesting. I did not know that either.
So one site that I looked at said, as a beginner, you should always use clear quartz as your first crystal for divination purposes. Mm-hmm. And that was from mysticcrystalimports.com. Mm-hmm. And they said that clear crystal is the most powerful and effective crystal for divination practices because it can be programmed with any intention you desire.
Okay. Okay, I like that. It's like a clean slate type of thing.
Yeah. I mean, and clear quartz is that is it's mm-hmm, one of the mm-hmm. crystals that you can use in substitution for any other crystal.
Yeah. I guess I'd never just thought of it like that in a sense, mm-hmm. you know, like I was like, oh yeah, clear quartz is great for anything really. But to give it like that, it's a clean slate. You can do anything with it and like focusing on, you can do anything with it. That's
white candles can be used for.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, so I guess I've never thought of it like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know? I have another. Did you know?
Okay.
Quartz is so abundant that almost every rock in the world has at least some small amount of it.
Oh, okay. So does that mean any rock can be used in your favor?
I mean, I think that the quartz properties probably can be tapped into of any kind of rock that you find. But I think that if you find one like a, you know, and I'll get into this later, I've come up with some interesting facts about quartz. But, you know, I think if you put your intent into it, that if there is quartz in it, that will help mold whatever your intention is. So say it's a, what did we talk about? The lapis lazuli?
Lapis lazuli.
If it has quartz in it, you can also imbue additional powers with your intent because of the quartz properties that might be in that particular rock. Okay. So quartz is very versatile. It is used in almost all forms of divination. It also has a great amplifying energy to help focus your intention. So even if you're using a different type of rock, like you said, that little bit of quartz that's in it can help amplify that energy that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I have another did you know?
Okay.
Throughout the 1300s and 1400s, Chinese judges would wear quartz lenses, and they were tinted with smoke to hide their expressions in court so that people couldn't read their expressions. Isn't that the weirdest thing?
Oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. So in the 1300s, they had quartz like sunglasses. You know, I'm thinking of the cool man. Hey, dude. You know? But they're hiding their expressions from the people that were in court with them.
Interesting.
We'll be right back.
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too.
Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days.
Cunt, 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 cunt.
I'm Ange Balasone, a.k.a. the drag queen, that girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fales, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch.
A gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge-ass couch.
While we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy.
And cunty.
With us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on the big... Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On the big cunty couch. Mwah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like a 1300s, 1400s. Did they not have like, you know, transparent glass or anything instead of like...
I don't think
quartz.
They knew how to make glass yet. Although so much has been lost and refound, you know, the dark ages and all of that. There were so many things that they did know and then they lost that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when the use of glass was able to be used for, like, I don't think corrective lenses in China came until after the 1400s.
Okay. So, but to like, have the idea and shape it into like glasses type vibes. That's interesting. In the 1300s and 1400s.
Yeah. Citrine is great for harnessing the power of the sun. Apparently,
I like citrine. Yeah. Nice. It's one of
my favorites. I do too. So the site that I was looking at, it was listing about crystals that would be good for divination purposes. So they said quartz, obviously. And then citrine is good for harnessing the power of the sun, and it offers clarity of thought and greater awareness. Black obsidian, which you did on one of our episodes, you talked about obsidian.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent source for scrying, just like gazing into a crystal ball, because it intensifies the energy that surrounds you. And then labradorite, which is one of my all-time favorites. I love it. It's one of the most powerful crystals in the world, and it helps to attract magical energy from other realms into our own to assist us with vision work and dream work, kind of tapping into our third eye, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then for psychic and intuitive crystal use, if you're going to be divining into that kind of area, rose quartz, it has been used to promote self-love, kindness, and empathy for years and years and years. It also is a great tool for beginners, and probably should be one of the first crystals that you do accumulate. Rose quartz. It's the love crystal as well.
Everybody has a rose quartz.
That's what I think too, the rose quartz. Mm-hmm. Hematite is a powerful grounding stone. It is also a useful tool for beginners. It has the ability to link the physical world and bring clarity during readings, making it a great choice if you want to use it for divination.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And hematite quartz, actually, this is another did you know, hematite quartz is supposed to bring us good luck in legal affairs.
Oh.
Isn't that weird? So I guess, if you're going to court, just kind of slip a little hematite quartz into your lawyer's pocket.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Doesn't hurt to try, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder where that came from. How did you ever... Oh, obviously this works for legal affair, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it had to have just been like, I had a thing of hematite in my pocket.
And I won my case.
And I won, so yeah. And then it's must like, be. Not, yeah. But hey, more intent and focus on hematite is good for court affairs, the more that it could be true.
True. So back to obsidian again. This is a highly polished black gem. And they say this website I was looking at said it's an expert level stone.
Oh, okay.
It gives you unrivaled clarity and its ability to connect with our higher selves makes it a must have.
Mm-hmm.
But being an expert level stone, does that mean... We shouldn't use that one until we know what the hell we're doing.
Is that sort of like, you know, the TikTok trend, Moldavite?
I haven't seen that.
It was during peak COVID, basically. Okay. Mm. And everybody was like starting to be able to venture outside their homes. And all over TikTok, it was like, you have to get Moldavite. You have to get Moldavite because it will basically... write what is everything wrong in your life, right?
So totally missed that TikTok thing.
So if you have like, let's say you have a partner, like you're dating someone and they aren't right for you. Like if you acquire Moldavite, it's like within the next 3 days, everything will align. You'll break up with that partner. If you weren't meant to live in this space that you're living, you'll be kicked out. Something will happen. I've heard like and seen TikToks where this woman or girl, her parents died in a horrific car accident after acquiring Moldavite, but she gained their inheritance of like a lot of money. And so she was able, I know. It's terrible.
That is terrible.
It was like apparently... She made a joke. It was like, you know, the dark humor to get past something so tragic. And she was right. Like, apparently Moldavite decided that I didn't need my parents anymore. So it kind of like ejects things out of your life for the good of you. But
yeah, I don't know what to think about that.
So would that be seen as like, that's an expert level because you have to be able to understand what comes from it and be able to take the after effects.
Because she wasn't an expert. Maybe it affected her that way. She still got the results that were good for her personally.
In the long run, she would need. Yeah.
Right. But how horrible is that?
Isn't that terrible? But I've seen like so many people got Moldavite and like posted on social media about it. Some people were like, oh, it's doing nothing. And so that means like...
One of our crystal episodes that we do in the future, we need to definitely delve into Moldavite. I had not heard that at all.
Apparently it's really rare. I've looked it up before and I at one point knew the origin, but apparently it's like a really rare stone. Half of the Moldavite that is being sold is fake because it's so hard to acquire. Mm-hmm. It's only in like one region of the planet, you know.
Didn't you say citrine wasn't often the real stuff?
Citrine is okay. The reason I remember this is because you freaking talk about amethyst all the freaking time.
I love amethyst, hangovers,
oh my gosh. No, but yeah, citrine, usually what's sold as citrine is amethyst heated up. And that stuck with me because, first of all, I had just bought what I thought
was citrine.
What I thought was citrine. And I actually think it might be. I think it might be citrine. But I'm kind of like worried that it might not be citrine.
A crystal shop up in Helen that I frequent. And I wonder if they would be honest with me if the citrine that I get there is actual citrine or not.
You could ask. It doesn't hurt to, I mean, I guess it doesn't. It does hurt, but it doesn't hurt to ask because.
I mean, it would just show them that I know what I'm talking about.
That you know
about.
What you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. But it was at the time where I had just gotten into learning about citrine and it was like, I had gotten a citrine like crystal stone. And then I learned, mostly for marketing, they just sell amethyst heated up because amethyst is heated up, it changes colors and citrine is rare.
How do you determine if what you have is real or not? I don't know.
It's the color. I take back what I said. I think what I have is heated up amethyst and I went and bought myself a real citrine. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So right now I have real citrine and I have fake citrine because if you look at pictures of real citrine, it's like a amber goldy color with yellow. If you have a larger piece, it's like ambery gold yellow and it's kind of clearish. If that makes sense. It's like, it's not transparent, but it's not cloudy. Okay. That's the word I'm looking for. It's not cloudy.
Okay.
The one that I have is cloudy. So it kind of looks like a quartz. Like a yellow quartz, but it's not quartz. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not making sense.
No, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I'll have to check into that.
Moldavite is like, if you get it, it could mess up what you have going for you right now.
I don't know that I ever want to touch moldavite.
It would mess up what you have right now,
but benefit you in the long run.
So it's like, it's for people who are stuck in a cycle that they don't want to be stuck in, that they feel like isn't there, and they need a boost. They need that, you know, change. Maybe if it's like a toxic partner in the toxic partner.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
you know,
maybe like a toxic relationship that they keep going back to. Yeah. Maybe Moldavite would help those people.
Something like that. But again, back to the expertise level of these types. And I don't know if Moldavite would be good for divination at all.
I don't either.
But expertise level, that's what I think expertise level means.
Well, another gem that's supposed to be good, or another crystal for divination, is tourmaline. And it's supposedly, quote, expert level as well.
Okay.
And it says that it comes in almost every color imaginable. Oh. And it can help you fine tune your psychic energy and help you find your way through the quote fog of life.
Okay. So I could see where that would have to be expert level so that you don't get quote unquote lost in your fog of life type of thing. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to be aware and cognizant of what's going on around you while you delve into those things.
Interesting. I mean, basically I think the best way to choose crystals is to use your intuition. You know, pay attention to which crystals appeal to you, the ones that seem to catch your eye, so to speak, are the ones that might have the most to teach you. Don't put too much thought into it. When you find yourself drawn to one, take that as a sign. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at a pretty pink crystal and then you see a purple one, but instead of walking towards that purple one, you find yourself going back to that pink one, you know, that's your intuition. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go with your intuition. Mm-hmm. And did you know that snow is a crystal? I think you did. It's a science thing. So you probably did.
Yes and no.
And salt and sugar are crystals too.
I knew that, but the snow.
But I wonder if throwing a snowball counts as lithomancy, where you're throwing the stones. No.
No.
No, River, no.
No.
Well, you know, snowball fights. Hey, I'm not really having, I didn't mean to throw that at you. I was doing lithomancy.
Lithomancy,
really.
That's it. Absolutely.
Okay. So since a lot of which crystals you choose depends on what type of divination you're going to do, let's talk about the different types of divination.
Okay.
So the most common that we all think of is crystal scrying. That is, it's also called crystal gazing, crystal seeing, or peeping, which I thought was interesting. This is what we usually think of when we talk about crystal ball divination.
Yes. Okay.
I have a beautiful crystal ball. I will have to take a picture of it and post it on social media. Mm-hmm. Although it is glass, I believe. I don't think it is an actual crystal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I'm going to put out a reminder. If you guys do have crystal balls, do not leave it in direct sunlight.
For sure.
We were
at the Renaissance Festival.
We were together last year. And it was so funny. We walked into this. It was obviously it drew us because it was like a witchy tent, had crystal balls and tarot cards. It was a really nice tent.
It was very cool.
And we walk in and I just think that it's like a smoke effect. And I'm like,
he's like, oh,
wow.
How cool.
Like,
and I'm like,
know, like sort of like
smell
incense.
Something.
Yeah. It was like, oh, like that's some lovely incense, you know, like I like that. You're setting the vibes for this. And so we're in there, we're looking and the lady jumps up and she's like, oh, I need to move it. You know, she was like, yeah. I didn't realize. And I felt so dumb in that moment. I was like, Oh, that's a fire, not incense.
Yeah, her tent's on fire. Oh, yeah. No.
No, like, I was like, okay, that's a vibe. It wasn't a vibe.
We have got to go again this year together. Yes. Tell your husband, and I'll tell my husband, that we have got to go to the Renaissance Festival again this year.
Yes. It was a lot of fun.
It was. And there's so many, you guys, wherever you live, I guarantee you there are Renaissance festivals wherever you are. They travel all over the country. You should go to one. You should dress up. It is a wonderful way to recreate your roots, get in touch with your ancestors. Mm-hmm. There are some really cool things
Eat a good turkey leg.
Turkey leg. There's all kinds of witchy shops usually at one of these places. So anyway, okay. So crystal balls. It is a magical practice that involves seeing things supernaturally, usually for the purpose of divination and fortune telling. Mm-hmm. Now, there is an actual interesting history to crystal ball reading.
Okay.
So nobody is really certain how crystal scrying got started, but it is believed that it was started with the Druids. Now, cultures all around the world, and I think we talked about this in one of our episodes before, they would use reflective surfaces for divination. Like, I think we talked about a culture that used the reflective water, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But Druids actually polished a crystal called beryl into small spheres. So they're the first ones that we know of that made spheres to gaze into.
Okay.
After the Roman conquest, crystal scrying fell out of favor until the Middle Ages, which at that point, quartz crystal, which we talked about, quartz, became the material of choice for crystal balls because it's colorless and a lot clearer than the beryl was. And then John Dee, which some of you all might know, he was the court advisor to Elizabeth I, was also known as a magician. He used a ball made of rock crystal for scrying, and he advised her with that. He would scry in this crystal and tell her, you know, what he thought would happen based on what he saw in this crystal. And he believed that these divination sessions could determine, quote, the universal language of creation, end quote, which is very fascinating. So he thought he was going into a deeper level when he was doing this vision seeking, that he was connecting to something more primal. And he apparently believed that this needed to happen for humanity to be united to prevent an apocalypse, which is fascinating to
me. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, keep your crystal balls on you and an event happens.
Cover them so they don't catch on fire.
But be safe about it.
And then in the 1950s, a psychic named Jean Dixon, she made them really popular, the crystal balls. And she actually publicly predicted the inauguration and assassination of John F. Kennedy, which I found fascinating.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And apparently there's documentation of this. Interesting. It is said that, and this is what you were talking about, that you must keep a crystal ball covered with cloth when it isn't being used, because if the sunlight hits it, it can create a lens, you know, just like when, you know, I don't know if you, when you were a kid, if you ever went camping and you used a magnifying glass to start a fire. I did that on Girl Scouts.
My generation is a little bit more progressive. We use lighters.
Okay. Well, you should have been in Girl Scouts too, because then you would have learned how to start a fire with a magnifying glass.
Okay.
So, you know, if you ever become stranded, if you wear glasses, you can use your glasses to start a fire. It might save your life. Just saying.
Okay. I'm just saying.
So, witches commonly used an infusion of mugwort and fresh water to wash crystal balls.
Okay.
Because mugwort is supposedly really powerful in divination work.
Okay. Okay.
Some crystal gazers of old used hollow glass balls, you know, the witch balls that we see. Like if you go on Etsy and you search witch balls, they're these hollow glass balls that have stuff in them. So a lot of times in the past that they would use those as crystal balls to gaze into. Something that's reflective or transparent. Other sources say that a perfectly transparent crystal with no inclusions, you don't get as good of a vision as if you've got an orb that has things in it, like, you know, imperfections, you would say, wisps or fracture lines or something. It makes it easier to actually read.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? So personally, I like the imperfections or additions that I think it does help with the visions. I found some at Dragon Con. I don't know if I ever showed you my glass orbs that I've got at Dragon Con. I'll have to show them to you. I bought one. It was super small because they were super expensive. I really liked the big ones, but I couldn't afford it. But it had swirls and stuff in it. So when you gaze in it, there is more for your mind's eye to latch onto when you're trying to have a vision.
I think you did show me. I think you did. They're like a darker color on the interior.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. 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 You did show me. They are beautiful. Yeah.
I want more. And to me, you know, if you're, when you are trying to get yourself into this trance-like state to be able to see, quote, see, to me, the clear isn't as easy as the imperfections are, or the not like the ones I bought, they aren't imperfections. They were intentionally entwined with stuff on the inside. But diviners or diviners, however you want to say that.
Divinationers.
Divinationers. They would use witch balls that held spirits of the dead.
Oh,
and they would use those then to use not just scrying magic, but necromancy magic.
Okay, wait. Off of that, could you use, like, you know how Egypt, they made little sculptures and statues of their pharaohs and of people in general, because that's where they thought if they were to come back, that's where their souls would inhabit.
Would go. Okay.
Yeah. So would you say it would be similar to that? Like those could also be used.
I know that witch balls, like people hang them in their windows and they're said to catch evil spirits.
Oh, are those not fire hazards?
Good question. I don't know if it does the same as a solid ball, because witch balls are generally hollow. So I don't know if the light refracting like the on dense, it is
like the
as strong
convex concave type of movement. Yeah.
You know, just like you hang crystals and stuff in your window and it makes the rainbows, people hang witch balls, but it is for the purpose of capturing evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And then apparently some diviners would use those captured spirits within that ball to do their divination.
Okay.
That to me, that's scary because then you're playing with the dead, and I don't know what power the dead might have. I mean, yes, they're captured within the witch ball, but when you start, can you get dragged into it? Can it inhabit you? Can the evil spirit affect you? I guess if you're doing that, make sure you got a ring of salt around you.
Take precautions.
So to practice crystal gazing, you're going to need a crystal or a crystal ball that is reflective or transparent. While some sources suggest a perfectly transparent crystal with no inclusions, the majority of crystal gazers like to have the ones with the veiled wisps or the fractures like I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Glass or resin works just as well as, say, a quartz one, you know. Quartz may be the number one choice, but you can use glass or resin as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we are broken records whenever we say, I feel like you can use pretty much, I'm not going to say anything. Like you can't use a sock. Yeah. I mean, maybe, but
yeah, it's got to be kind of reflective, I would think.
Yeah. But I feel like anything in the same material of that sense, if you have the intent, materials help enhance our power and help hone us a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? Like if you have the intent and the focus, anything can really be used for your practice.
I agree. I mean, it is important to remember that our intent is
powerful.
The magic of witchcraft. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is where our magic comes from. So did you know, this is what I was talking about earlier, one of the best known crystal balls comes from the movie The Wizard of Oz. And that ball was such a desired object that it sold for $129,000 in the early 2000s, which back then, I don't know what $129,000
was. There's been some inflation since.
So. I would think so. But I vaguely remember watching. I mean, we used to watch The Wizard of Oz all the time. And I don't remember the orb from The Wizard of Oz exactly.
I vaguely remember it.
I wonder how much the orb from The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings would sell for. That would probably sell for a lot.
A lot, yeah.
Wow.
A lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then crystalvault.com is I'm going to post all of the sites that I use to get my research from, but crystalvaults.com said that once you find the crystals or crystal that you're going to use for this gazing, this is not the stone throwing yet. You go to a quiet spot, you empty your mind and you gaze into the surface or the interior of the crystal. You wander around in the reflections or the interior and allow your mind to find triggers and patterns that pertain to whatever this question is that you have in your mind. And as with all of the craft, practice makes a difference. So do this a few times a week. You know, the gazing is in your mind and the crystal is just a tool. So you're learning how to focus. You know, it's really like, what is it called? Daydreaming, where it's like a focused daydreaming. So instead of having no control over it, the more you practice with it, the more control you have over your divination.
Did you know?
Did you know
not everybody has images in their head though?
What do you mean?
Like, you know how like you and I, we can picture like in our head, actually picture things with color and all of that. Not everybody can do that.
Are you kidding?
I'm not. Not everybody can do that. not everybody can have that clear picture, can see the colors. Sometimes people can only process, say, I don't even know, because my brain doesn't think that way. My brain doesn't process things that way, but not everybody's brain thinks like that.
That blows my mind.
I know. I don't know how they live, but sometimes when you lay in bed and you have, and you keep thinking and like imagining these unimaginable, pictures.
Yeah.
And you come up with those arguments where you're like, ooh, I should have said that 10 years ago in that argument, you know?
Yeah.
But
do they
Not everybody can do that. There's like a percentage. There's like, I should have come prepared. I didn't know we were going to be talking about this percentage about that online, which it's very interesting. And I initially learned that on TikTok, and then I went and did my own research because I'm like, oh, that's weird. I can picture pictures, and I have thought processes in my head.
So like when they're reading a book, to me, when I'm reading a book, it's a movie in my head because
they just read the words.
How do you ever do that?
On TikTok was like, yeah, I have that. Like, I can't picture images in my head, and so somebody was like, how do you read a book and imagine the world? And they were just like, I just read the book and read the words.
So like when they read The Hobbit, they weren't transformed to this beautiful world.
No.
They just read
when it says a castle, they're like, okay, a castle. They don't picture it. They know what a castle already looks like. And so it's like, oh, they don't picture it. See, that's the thing. Like if
that
you already know what a castle looks like, then you picture it in your head. But see, like
that
now that I'm
out.
That I'm saying castle, I have an image of a castle
right,
in my head.
Me
like
too.
I just, yeah, yeah.
You say horse and I've got a picture of a horse in my head.
I'm like, okay, yeah, horse.
I have never heard of such a thing.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's crazy. Okay.
So when we say things, so now it makes sense where people are like, oh, I look into a crystal ball. I don't quote unquote see anything like in your head. You can't have that seeing, that sight, because mm-hmm. not everybody can have that sight.
Interesting. So I do have another, did you know? The largest known true crystal ball is housed at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., which I went to as a Girl Scout. So I'm just saying Girl Scouts are a thing.
Lame. No, I'm just kidding.
Girl Scouts are wonderful.
No, I'm just kidding.
It weighs 106.75 pounds.
Jeez.
And it is 12.9 inches in diameter, which is not huge.
That's a dense.
Yes.
It's dense.
And it is the largest flawless quartz crystal in the world. Can you imagine how powerful that sucker is?
We got to go. I need to touch it.
The giant orb was first cut and polished in the 1800s in China. And they think that it might have been mined from Burma.
Okay.
That is the coolest. I went to the Smithsonian Institution when I was a kid, again, as a Girl Scout. So, hey, Girl Scouts, yay.
Lame.
No, girl power, man.
Lame.
But now I want to go and find this freaking crystal ball. How cool is that? Can we like do divination at
the
Smithsonian?
Well,
they probably won't let us touch it.
But is that going to stop me?
Well, I want to touch like tornadoes, and if I did that, I would die. So
yeah, but that's so different. That's so different.
I want to touch a dirt devil. That won't kill me, right?
But this is different. You're talking about natural occurrences that literally you cannot touch, but we're actually talking about something that's actually in the Smithsonian.
You cannot touch it either because you would go to prison.
Whatever.
Okay.
It would be worth it.
Crystal scrying. Let's move on to crystal throwing, which I don't know if this is what Greg was thinking of when he asked us to do this or if he was talking about the crystal balls. I don't know.
Yeah. But and I also have something to say. Greg, your name is cool.
His name is cool.
He is awesome. I was like, talk to Greg. Email Greg back.
Email Greg. Okay. Okay, so crystal throwing, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. This is the form of divination where you actually toss crystals like onto a grid of some kind. It's called lithomancy.
Okay. Yeah. We have boards.
We do have boards. I sell boards. So it is an ancient form of divination that uses stones to predict the future. The practice can be traced back as far as 3000 BC and is thought to have originated in either India or Persia. Over the centuries, lithomancy has been used by a variety of cultures all over the world, including the ancient Egyptians, the Greeks, and the Romans. In fact, the Roman scholar I learned about him, but I never remember how to pronounce his name. He's Pliny the Elder. He was said to have used lithomancy to predict the outcome of battles.
Oh, like, okay.
That reminds me of our episode with the chickens where they would do the chicken divination.
They would dunk the chickens or like throw them overboard.
Chickens overboard. Yeah. I think that was the name of that episode.
I think that was episode two.
It was like early.
It was like episode two. We talked about chickens overboard.
One constant reference that seems to be agreed upon is that in Constantinople, the Saint Photios the First described lithomancy as being used by Eusebius, a physician, to execute a ritual. So that was long, 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 long time ago.
Okay.
So apparently throwing stones was a thing for a long time.
Okay.
One of the oldest versions of lithomancy is said to use 13 stones representing astrology signs, fortune, love, home, magic, Sun, Mercury, the Moon, Saturn, Mars, and Venus. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the stones had different meanings, but it was always 13.
Okay.
They then would cast the stones onto this astrology map, and depending on where they landed on this map, would tell them what the meanings were. So okay. if the sun landed on a particular area, that would mean something. If, you know, the moon landed on a particular area, that would mean something.
Okay.
There are other ways to practice lithomancy. There was never anything really written that told us how to do it. And so there's all kinds of theories on how to do it.
Interpretations.
So, correct.
Yeah.
So according to the crystalvaults.com that I had talked about, there are three ways to do it. One is a simple yes or no approach. So the stones themselves or the crystals themselves are meaningless, except as you decide it before the cast. Like you can say all the black stones mean yes and all the white stones mean no, and then you throw it. And depending on where they land, you know, if you're asking a yes or no question. There are so many variations of this. You could use a silver one. You could have black, white, and a silver, which might mean maybe. One uses four stones of white, black, silver, and brown. And the silver one may mean maybe yes, and the brown one might mean maybe no. A popular approach is to use five stones, one being the personal stone, so that the stone that lands closest to the personal stone is the one that indicates the answer. I mean, pretty much your intent on what you want it to mean is what's important here. Another approach is that the stones or crystals that are cast have specific meanings. The clustering and spacing of the cast stones provide the relationships and the meanings to the cast. This works really well if you've got a personal stone within the mix too. So then the personal stone within the resulting cast tells you which is influencing yourself the most, depending on what lands close to you. A lot of lithomancy approaches are based on the zodiac. Stones representing the different houses of the zodiac are cast. Another approach is to cast stones on a grid, which to me, this makes the most sense. So like you make a grid that has, you know, health or, whatever, and you throw the stones and then wherever they land on your grid is what they mean.
Okay.
So Etsy has got a bunch of different divination boards. You can find them on the internet. You can make your own. I think making your own is actually better because then it's got your energy and your intent imbued into this thing. There is a blog, this lady named Namie, and her blog is great. It was on Tumblr. It is the manicnamie.tumblr.com. And I'm going to post this in our thing as well. So you can just click on it and go to her post. She's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. She has a handmade grid that you can look at and you can see how she does it. She has a section on the board for emotional health, education, home life, physical health, mental health, social, career, financial, family, communication, past and future. So then she thinks of a question that she wants answered. And she puts her hand into her bag of gems. So she's got a whole bag of gems. Say she wants it to be 10 gems, then she would take all of them. Mm-hmm. If she wants it to be just 5 and the bag has 30, she picks out 5. And then she throws it on the grid with her eyes closed. And then she reads the results. So I think it would be really cool to actually choose the correspondences. I like the crystals that mean something, like amethyst for hangovers, that kind of thing.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
You guys, you need to, I don't know, do jumping jacks or something every time River says amethyst.
It's a drinking hangovers. Game. Yeah.
You know, I said jumping jacks for a reason.
Okay. So anyway, I think hers is really cool. Something one site said is that if you're going to be reaching in and drawing out your own crystals, so say you've got 30 and you're only going to draw out 4, you need to make sure that they're of similar shape and size. So you don't subconsciously pick out the ones, like if you know this particular one is bigger, you don't subconsciously pick that, I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of, okay, I'm going to use 5. You put the 5 in there, you shake it up like a Yahtzee thing. You know, you shake it and throw it out.
Yahtzee.
Yeah. And then there's pendulum scrying or pendulum work that you can also use crystals. A pendulum is a tool that is held between your thumb and index finger, and it consists of any sacred object, such as a crystal, and is suspended from a piece of cord or string. And for this episode, we'll just talk about crystal pendulums, but there you can use a wedding ring. You can use, there's so many different things you can use for. Have we done an episode on pendulums yet?
I know we've talked about it.
We'll have to, I mean, I think we could do a deep dive on pendulums for sure. But anyway, the ones I listed above that when I talked about earlier about the obsidian and all of that, those would be good for using as a pendulum. I did read that apatite crystal is really good for your intuition. And I don't even know what that looks like.
I feel like it.
A-P-A-T-I-T-E.
A-P-A. Okay.
I'll look it up. Yeah. I don't know anything. I didn't have time to look it up.
Yeah, I feel and like
lapis lazuli is also good for work with divination, especially if you're working with spirits or your ancestors. And then you can do something. Okay. So it can be as simple. Basically, when you're holding this pendulum, it's going to swing. And you can say, you have to say ahead of time what the swings are going to mean. So left is yes, right is no. You can get the divination mats for you for this, which I sell those on my site, Bats and Baubles, at inc.etsy.com. I think that's what you're talking about. You can probably find free ones on the internet, but, you know, or you can just say, hey, left is yes and right is no. I mean, you don't have to have a specific mat. It just is very helpful, I think, when you do. But the question for this should be one that can be answered with a positive, a negative, or a neutral. So a good example of a question would be, will I be offered the job I interviewed for this morning? Because that's yes or no, or maybe yes, maybe no. A poor question would be, will my present, my pregnant cousin have a boy or a girl? Because that you can't answer that with yes or no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could rephrase it like, will it be a boy?
Right.
Or will it be a girl?
And then it is imperative to proceed the question session with like, so for instance, wow, I'm really not, I've been drinking for quite
over
a while.
Here, like
y'all.
A clear mind. Like what?
I need some crystal quartz right now. And probably some amethyst for the morning.
Oh my gosh. Take another jumping jack.
I know. So it you say something along the lines of, it is my intention to receive truthful answers, which will serve the, you know, basically you've got to become focused. You've got to, you can't just do this like, oh, haha, it's a drinking thing. We're going to do this for fun. You really want to be focused on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You don't take this lightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear mind, focus, you know?
Yeah. So some basic things to keep in mind, compose the question in your mind that you're trying to think about. In certain answer, in certain respects, it's going to be one of those that's open-ended. Like when you're looking in, when you're scrying, when you're doing, looking into the crystal ball, as opposed to the pendulum, you want it to be specific, yes or no.
Yeah.
One thing I came across was to ask it three times, you know, that power of three we talk about.
Oh, uh-huh.
I thought that was interesting. Another step is to make sure you prepare yourself. You select the crystal or crystals that you want to use while you're focusing on the question, because your intuition is going to lead you to what you need. And you have to do this with a clear mind. Don't be focused on, oh, I got to do the dishes, or, you know, tomorrow night is I've got to do this meeting or whatever. And then cleanse your crystals before you use them. You can clear a crystal by steeping it in salt water. You can run it under running water. I think we've talked about this before, like it's a stream.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because some crystals do not like water. So be very careful before you do that. You can, I think there's one where you can bury it in the ground for a certain time. You can put it in the moonlight for a certain time or the sunlight. So be, you know, cleanse your crystals, clear the space that you're doing this in before you do it. You know, just because you've cleansed yourself and your crystals doesn't mean that the area that you're in isn't negatively impacted. So, you know, maybe cast a circle, use salt to cast a circle, use your ritual dagger to cast a circle, make it clean. You want a clean spot to do this. And then buy a journal or make a journal to keep your answers in, your interpretations in. You know, if you're going to do the magic ball scrying thing, you want to write down what you think you've seen. And as you go through time and you read these things, especially if you're practicing every week, you might discover that there are patterns to what you are seeing, and you might be able to interpret something even deeper based on your notes. So basically, that is all we've got for this week's episode. Greg, I hope this was what you were looking for.
I hope so. If it's not, let us know.
We will definitely do more, and we can do a deep dive into any of these that we've talked about. We can go, there's so much more out there, you guys. We have a whole bunch more episodes on the way. So I'm excited. We got lots more crystal episodes. We'll have to do one on whatever that crystal was that I don't remember was earlier. That sentence did not even make any sense.
It made sense to me.
Oh, boy. And you're not even drinking alcohol.
No, orange juice. Okay, but orange I am really juice. Excited about our next topic because we already have that one in mind. So I'm very excited about that discussion, and that one will probably be a long one because I can ramble about the topic. Like I
think it's going to be one we're going to have to split into separate things. But yes, I'm excited about that one too.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Well, thanks for listening. You can find us at www.c3witchypodcast.com. That's our website. There you can find links to our social media, links to our episodes, a page to our merch, which I have to say, one of our patrons just ordered a t-shirt. I am so excited. Thank you so much. I hope you love it as much as I do. I've ordered like God knows how many of the t-shirts because I love them all. Super comfortable fabric, y'all. But anyway, our email is also there on our website. That's a great way to reach us. That is how Greg told us what he wanted as a topic. So do that. If you enjoy this podcast, please support us. You can click the Patreon button on the first page of our website, or you can go to www.patreon.com/C3witchypodcast. Any amount that you offer will help. A dollar a month would be fantastic. That's only $12 a year, y'all. And yet it makes a huge difference to us to be able to keep doing this. Thank you to our existing patrons. Jessica, she's the one that ordered a t-shirt. Greg and Mandy are brand new ones. You are so appreciated. Woo! Nika, of course, has been there forever. You get a free tote bag from us. So if you want to email us your address, you can get that sent out to you. Please send us episode ideas, you guys. We are more than willing to do topics for you all. And we are excited for the future topics that we've already come up with. So definitely come back and listen.
Yes.
So we'll be back.
Yes, we'll be back. And until, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Oh, and y'all. When this comes out, it'll be the wolf full moon.
Yes. Get your water ready.
Definitely. I'm going to have a whole, oh, I didn't tell you. I've got my altar. I'm starting to set up my altar in my room.
See, we have good things. Good things.
Yes. This year. I am very excited. I'll take a picture once it's done and I'll post it on
Patreon.
On Patreon. Oh, that's a good idea. Anyway, until we see you again or hear from you or listen to you. No, you listen to us.
It's just a we'll be back. Yes, yeah.
We'll be back. Stay with you, y'all. Bye.